Thank you tonight. Thank you for bringing us here. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your faithfulness. We gather here tonight. We ask you to bless every heart with your word in Jesus' name. Help each one of us to learn something that will make our life make further progress in Jesus' name. We also pray that those who are coming, those who are joining us online, they also be blessed with this word in Jesus' name. Father, we pray for our state, our city, and we also pray for our nation for peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Open your eyes. How many of you notice that the roads are really bad in our town today? Roads are really, really bad, right? Let's ask God that God may start repairing these roads. Should we ask that? Let's pray. Father, open your mouth and say, Lord, please move on the hearts of those who are in government to start repairing this road. Start putting things back to normal. Let's ask him to begin to guide them, steer their hearts up. They have a new agency to do that now that they be steered up to do the needful. So let's pray that these roads that are getting bad, they start getting being repaired in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. All right. I got something for us today that's fascinating we are going to get into. And it's really beautiful. You know, we've been spending some time on... Sit down, please. Sit down, sit down. Forgive me. Let me ask you to sit down. And you will love this one because let's go to John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8, verse 12. You there? Jesus spoke to the people, anyone you like, saying, I am the light of what? Glad he didn't say I'm the light in heaven, because we are not yet in heaven. Where are we? We are in the world. And he who follows me shall not what? Walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Let me tell you my most fascinating, I was telling them second service last Sunday, my most fascinating thing about the Christian faith is Jesus Christ. And tonight, let's spend some time, let's go to Act 1:1, and then we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, Spirit of power, might, love, and sound mind. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to Esquilunia and whoever is there, can you help me capitalize to do and teach? The word do, particularly the word do and then teach. Okay, so I'd like you to see those words, do and teach. He said, he that follows me, I'm the light of the world, right? Right? Okay. Now, if you're going to follow somebody, one of the best ways to follow them is not what they say, but what they do. You know, a lot of us, we grow up in a house where we learn not just by what we hear our parents say, but we watch them a lot. And we learn a lot from them. So, we want to watch Jesus at work. We want to see Jesus, you know, he could teach, he could preach, he could heal. Yeah, that's good. But let's watch Jesus, right? Let's watch. If you're going to follow him and learn from him, let's watch him. Let's understand. Like a child at home, see his father doing like this. The father said, don't smoke. You see, right? Don't smoke. But he's watching the father smoking. So likely he wound up smoking because you usually go by what you see than by what you hear. So we're just going to watch Jesus. For me, this is one of the most fascinating teaching we can ever do. I'm glad that I don't have to follow a pastor. I don't have to follow an apostle. I don't have to follow a bishop. I can only follow Christ. I can follow an apostle as he follows Christ. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So following Christ is part of our name. Omalenyi Christi. Heard that before? So if you're going to follow Christ, we're going to watch him in both what he does and what he teaches. So we have to learn some things. Let's go to Ephesians 4, chapter 4, Ephesians. Let's look at verse 18, 19, thereabout. Give me, next verse, verse 20. Okay, yeah, look at that. Can you see that verse on the screen? But you have not so learned Christ. Next verse. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Let's read this in NLT, verse 20. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Next verse. For since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, Jesus was bold enough to say, come to me, right? And learn from me. Remember that? Matthew 11:28. Let's go. Matthew 11:28. Let's read it. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Look at next verse. What did he say? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you find rest for your soul. Let me tell you, can I tell the truth? Nothing but the truth. I enjoy my Christian life because I don't live as a pastor. I don't live by as anointed. I live every day when I wake up connecting with Christ. That's, for me, the most fascinating thing. That's what I want to share with you today. And just we're going to go through it and we're going to see just doing things. How did he live his life? Because I just don't want to hear the story of somebody. I want to see how actually they did it. So we're going to spend some time together and just track Jesus. If you see, today's Christian people are having problems a lot because they have not learned from Christ. They learn from church, from pastors, from everybody, from TV, from YouTube, from video, from Facebook, but they never learn from Christ. And when you learn from Christ, a lot of things you will learn when you come to church, it just be confirmed for you. Praise God. I said, praise God. All right, so we're going to learn from Christ and we're going to just watch him. So let's go. Are we ready? Let's start from Matthew because that's the authorized biographies of Jesus from heaven. God gave us 4 books on Jesus when he was here on earth. What are those 4 books? Matthew, Mark, like one guy says, Matthew, Mark, look at John. Hello? Okay, so we're going to gather Matthew, Mark, and then Luke, and John. And those are the, some people contended with those books. They said, those are not the true stories of Jesus. But somebody can come and say, look at this is my authorized biography. And God put his stamp that that's the authorized story. And, but Jesus, don't waste your time. So we are going to watch Jesus, and we are going to also follow him, right? Like now, many of us were put in a family, not in a school when we were born. Why? Because you can watch your parents grow and you can learn from them. And when they have bad habits, you pick it up too. When they have good habits, you pick it up too. Right? That's true. So let's go. Ready? Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Now, amazingly, are we here? I said, are we here? I'm just cool tonight. Amazingly, in Matthew 1 and Matthew 2 and Matthew 3, we never seen Jesus do anything. We saw people doing things on Jesus. Like he was born. Am I right? That means somebody gave birth to him, not himself. Amazingly, he came as a human being and he was born. And then we're going to watch him, chapter 2, chapter 3. But we're going to start talking about what did he do first according to the Bible. What did Jesus do first that was that important to start his life? Amazingly. Ready? Let's start with his life first in Matthew 1. Can you imagine? When Jesus was born, there was a controversy of legitimacy. Hello? Hello? Are you here? Are you here? You know, it's good to be born without checking your DNA. Are you hearing me? Controversy. Is that the son of Davido or not? That's controversy. See that happening in our world today. Jesus was born with a struggle of legitimacy. Because when the mother told the father, he said, I'm pregnant. He said, who? Holy Ghost. When did the ghost start giving birth to a child? And, you know, it had to take angel of God to come in a dream and interrupt. I want to say that Jesus was not spared normal human life trouble. I mean, from the beginning, his father's marriage to his mother was on the brink of divorce. Think about it. Matthew chapter 1. Let's go. So I just want you to just be here and some of you feel, no, I'm going through trouble. I wonder what things are happening to me. I mean, this guy was born with trouble starting. Are you hearing me? How many of you are here? You are born when your parents are contemplating divorce. Can I see your hands up? Even if it's why you won't put up your hands. Because you think that my mother and dad gave birth to me. They had no problem. Everybody thinks like that. How many of you are born in the hospital? Everybody. How many of you are born in a manger? Okay, not manger, it's too far. In a poultry. Even if your mom gave birth to you in poultry, they won't tell you. They are taking you to hospital and saying, you are born in the hospital, at land to rule, you know. So, chapter 1, Matthew. Did you hear? Look at it. And so Jesus was born with a story of, but that's not what he did, that's what his parents were doing. Chapter 2, let's go to chapter 2. Chapter 2, let's call this topic, Jesus at work. Letter A like that, at work. Can you give me that on the screen? Jesus at work. Okay, like when you go by the road, they block the road, say, men at work, right? Men at work. So let's look at Jesus at work. All right. So chapter 2, Jesus was growing up a little bit, and then some people came from far east to come and worship, brought him gold. They said they heard that the king of the Jews were born. And then Herod got angry, right? That another king was born, right? Remember that? Cool. And I love this. Jesus had to be bundled out of the country. What do you call that? Something refugee, something. What do you call it? Seeking asylum. Thank you. And he went to the U.S. of the time, Egypt. He went to an asylum. I mean, can you just imagine Jesus traveled as a baby? No, not true. Oh, by the way, his parents were living in Nazareth, and the time about his birth was coming, then one king just made a law in Rome and said, everybody that must be born in their hometown, must be census in their hometown. And the mother and the father dragged down, and the trouble of the journey, he made the mother go into labor and give birth to Jesus. And when he was born, there was no place to put him. What a nice way. If you were the one that was coming from heaven, where would you choose to be born? Of course, nothing less than White House. So, wow. And children died, slaughtered. Because one king was furious, wanted to remove one man and kill so many children. Are we here? Did Jesus escape? He did, but not too far. 30 years later, he was hanging on the cross by the same Roman Empire. What a human. So just looking at his life, but we're just talking about what happened around him, not yet what he did himself. And of course, you know that in chapter 2, his father seeking whatever asylum, burned Jesus out, went to Egypt. Where did he get the money from? From the gold that the rich man, the wise man brought, you know, the new currency, you know. I mean, dollar, that was the dollar then. So they took the money, I mean, took off, went abroad. And then he stayed there for some time. Then the king died and had to come back. I don't know about you. How many of you traveled like that when you were small? How many of you traveled like that when you were born? You were out of one country, another continent, and come back again, go somewhere else. So if you are looking at me like, Pastor, what's wrong with you today? I'm telling the story of your life too. You know, one guy came to church one time. He said, I, my dad, I just can't forgive them, man. I said, what happened? He said, all my siblings were born abroad, but when my own time come, they came to Nigeria. So he was the only one born in Nigeria. Man, he was not hungry, man. I'm a U.S. citizen. Your brother, I'm your sister, U.S. citizen, second, 23, and he called him Manaya. He's in Lagos and he's enjoying himself. But, you know, Jesus was just that way. Chapter 3, let's go. Matthew 3. And we're going to start looking at for what Jesus did. And something happened in chapter 3, verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching. Amazingly, look at it. John the Baptist came preaching. So we've been looking at Matthew 1, he gave birth to him. Matthew 2, he ran out of town with his parents. No, they took him out of town. He couldn't run anything, you know. They carried him out of town, you know. Brought him back. you know, tag to the mother, hello. And then notice this, please have a look at this. In those days, John Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, what happened next? And saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Screaming in the wilderness. That was going on. Crowd were coming. Let's read further a little bit. Let's read some more. For this is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, first of all, crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Next verse. Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair. He was wearing jeans with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. The guy was not normal. His diet was crazy. And was screaming in the wilderness, repent! That means turn or burn. God's kingdom has come. God's government is here. Now Jesus was somewhere, I guess in Nazareth. And Jesus started to do something. What did you do first? This is very, very enlightening for me. John 3, are we there? Take a look at verse 13. This is the first action of Jesus. Sorry, Matthew 3. That's a slip of microphone. Matthew 3, 13. That's where Matthew, not John. Then this is the first action from Jesus. Just want to see it. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be what? Amazing. Amazing. Are we here, everybody? Are you listening? The very first action, we're looking at Jesus at work, in action. And if you are living with Jesus and you are watching Jesus, the first all these years, people were doing things to Jesus, doing that, parents, friends, everybody trying to help him out, took him to temple, book him back. He never kind of took any step until this is the first time he will take a step as an adult, and he went for baptism. Amazing. So, baptism was a big deal to Jesus. That was his first action point in human history. That's the first thing he did. And what was this baptism about? It's strange because you don't find baptism under the Old Testament. What you find is that circumcision, right? They take you, get a blade, and cut you. But they cut him when he was 8 days old too, was circumcised as a Jew. But baptism was never there until John came. And baptism is not like circumcision. When you are unconscious and small, you have no sense of belonging, you have no sense of personality, they cut you and call you a Jew. But baptism, you are conscious, you are mature, you walk into the river on your own choice, and you enter the water saying that you want to repent and to enter a new life, and you rise up out of the water. How many of you have baptized in water before? Can I see your hands? That's the first action of Jesus you did. Amazing. That means baptism is vitally important. It was the beginning of Jesus' life in action. Baptism. Okay. Let's look at what happened. So, then Jesus came from Galilee to John. Now, he traveled to do that. He traveled. Galilee is like plateau, Nasarawa area. And Jordan is around Sagam. Huh? And Jesus entered when he heard about that, packed his bag, backpack maybe. And then he traveled down. John was baptizing, and he came all the way from Galilee, where he was living with his parents, the carpenter. He was a carpenter all that time. Amazing, he had a job. And then he came down with the backpack, and he was walking toward John the Baptist, and their eyes got in contact. What happened next? Then John said, "Try to prevent him. No, you can. No. This cannot happen. I'm talking to sinners here. I'm talking to those who are not following God. What are you doing here, pure son of God? Are you here? What's the first action of Jesus? He got baptized. And then John said to him, "I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?" It's going to give an answer that will help you all through your life, wherever you find yourself. Please listen to this. The answer Christ will give over here will give you how to handle whatever comes your way. When things happen your way. Because you're going to, things are going to happen to you. You're going to get to school. You're going to get married. You're going to have children. You're going to go to places. You're going to get job. You're going to get and even leave this world. He answered him with this question. What's the answer he's getting to him? But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so. When? Now. Some things must be given permission in your life where you are right now. For instance, if, as a young man, if you never permit yourself to get married, you stay single the rest of your life. You see, John couldn't understand why should Jesus get baptized? I mean, it should replace John. When they got down there, it's a supposition. John will say, okay, please baptize me. But Jesus said, permit it to be so now. For, let's read together, everybody. For thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. I want you to take this word and make it one of your greatest words to say and to abide by in life. You see a young man telling a lady, let's just go to bed. We don't have to think about getting married. Then you say, permit us to get married now to fulfill all righteousness. Oh, I'm going to give you this land. No paper, no nothing. No, let us sign paper. Permit to be now to fulfill all. Because our children will rise up one day and say, that land doesn't belong to me. So let's sign paper. When you buy a car, I'm going to say, take the car away. Don't worry about the papers. You say, no, sir. And I know you give me half of the discount, but permit to be so now for thus fulfilling all. See, there must be a sense in you where you just don't do things because you feel like it. You ask what is fitting. Are you hearing me? For thus, it is fitting. To fit here. Hello? Have you ever tried a clothes before? You say, I said, you fit me. Am I right? So Jesus was saying that, look, as you go through life, think about what fits you. What fits you? Remember, David said to King Saul, it doesn't fit me. I can't use this armor. Hallelujah. So when we look at Jesus, the very first thing he did to be fitted for his journey is that he got baptized. He shouldn't get baptized, but you know what? Parents who have children, they do things at home, not because they should do it, but because of their children watching them. Are you hearing me? Are you listening, everybody here? I don't have to go to school. I don't have to pray. I don't have to teach. I don't do anything. You can do anything you want to, but who's following you? Who's watching you? Now today we have all the followers on YouTube and Facebook, but they never amount to anything. They don't see themselves as an influencer. But what we need most is somebody who has sense of rights, who knows right and wrong. Not only that, who knows what is fitting. So Jesus, right at the beginning, adopted baptism. Are we everybody? Baptism was at the very first foundation of Jesus' action. Amazing. Somebody said baptism. Okay. This is not Catholic Church where the Anglican, where they confirm. Choose. Let's look at what happened at baptism. Are we ready? Why did he choose baptism? Why? Are we ready? Are we ready? Good. Let's go. Next verse. So, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up, what? Immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. Amazingly. So Jesus got three in one package at the beginning of his action. Listen, many of us over here, you like to act. You want to do something, you want to go somewhere. But have you been sanctioned by heaven? See, three things were in that story. Number one, baptism of Jesus. Number two, opening of heaven. And number three, the Spirit of God descending. Can you give me that list? Number one, baptism. Number two, heaven open. Number three, spirit descending. Those are the major pillars of Jesus' life. All that he did, all that he performed, rested on that. Are you hearing me, somebody here today? As you are coming, we are discussing, give us the title of this series, Jesus at Work. Jesus in Action. Jesus performing, making things happen. Are we hearing me? See, many of us will think talent first, platform first, education first, connection first. Jesus taught what first? Baptism, open heaven, and spirit. Are we here? Pastor is sending strength today. Oh, we just watching Jesus. This is the first thing Jesus did. Then Jesus came from Galilee to Jordan to be baptized by John. And when he was baptized, he came up out of the water immediately, and heaven opened and the Spirit descended. No wonder Acts says how Jesus anointed. Listen, let's read it. Let's go. Chapter 10:38. Act 10:38. Take a look. We're going to do something. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who now began to go about doing what? Doing what? You know, sometimes people think that doing good is just easy. You think it's just a walkover. You know, you can just do good now. No. It's easier to do crazy things with our lives than doing good. Are you hearing me? Do you know how much it takes to preserve food? Just leave food here. It will rot. You don't have to invite rotting. Am I right? Is there anything like rotting? You don't have to invite spoil. You don't have to invite spoil. Things spoil on their own. But to make it to be preserved, somebody has to go to work and put on freezer and put on something and just turn it on and keep it and preserve it. It's tough. It's more difficult. See, the reason why you don't see what kind of things going on. The reason why you don't see bigger things in your life is because you think that it's going to be easier to do that. It just, you know, it takes much more energy. Whoa, are we here, everybody? Said, are we here? Give us the three things Jesus began with. In action, in doing things, in making things happen in your life. Jesus, in action, began with baptism, open heaven, and Holy Spirit. So vitally important. We're looking at Jesus at work. How did he live his life? We're not looking at his teaching and preaching. We know some of that. We can open that. But we're looking at how did he live his life? And we're looking today at the beginning of his actions, at the beginning of his ways. And what did he begin with? Who can tell me again? He began with what? Baptism. Let's go back there. Matthew chapter 3. Verse 13. This is the first time in Matthew that Jesus began to do something. When he was born, he didn't do anything. Somebody did that on him. Somebody gave back to him. Somebody carried him to Egypt. Somebody brought him back. Are you hearing me? That's what he did on him. But what did he do first, according to Matthew? The first thing Jesus did, the first step he took, was to head toward Jordan River, be baptized by John. And as he came out, let's read it again, verse 13. But Jesus came from Galilee, Jordan baptized by him. Next verse. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to come baptized by me? Jesus was baptized in water. So if you say that you want to get baptized, you must be really not humble as Jesus. See, you know? I mean, can you think about that? Baptism is dangerous. The guy can live inside the water now. Just keep you there and hold you down there. Verse 15. Jesus answered and said to him, permit to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. So Jesus was dotting the I and crossing the T before he started doing anything. And what did he do? Look at next verse. And he allowed him, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water. Behold, the heavens were open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. So Jesus went through baptism, and he had access to open heaven, and then the Spirit came upon him, and from there, he began to act all over Galilee. And if you are going to see things happen in our life too, and act properly, and make life better for ourselves, we must learn to go by the way of baptism, and what? Open heaven, and the Holy Spirit. We're learning from Jesus. Interesting. Now somebody said, Pastor, why this? Why baptism? Why open heaven? Let me first of all give you the see that thing between them: baptism, open heaven, and descending. It's like two things like that, you know. Baptism is the entrance, the Spirit is the fruit. In between is the open heaven. That's the medium. That's what's bringing, you know. I mean, when he got baptized, heaven opened. From that heaven came Holy Spirit. Is that right? Do you get that? So baptism seems like an entrance into something that's just beyond natural. Baptism opened Jesus to the realm of heaven. You must say baptism. Pastor, keep me willing. Are you here? I'm not here to come and contend with you. I'm here to just tell you about Jesus. How many of you follow Jesus here? You follow Jesus? Thank you. So, Jesus' first action, get baptized. Second, heaven open. Third, Spirit descending. Do you know that as a Christian, if you are going to make any journey with God, except you are not a Christian, you don't come this way. Anybody who is a Christian, that's the way you confess. Christ announced that. Himself, let's go and see how he announced. Let's go. Let's go to Matthew chapter 28 when he was going, leaving this world. 28 verse 18. Where's? Okay, I'm going to put off this fan. I don't need this fan. It's a place where they put it off. Where's Samuel? Okay. All right. They find him. Okay, come and help me put it off. I really need it. Okay. Some of you notice I've changed the pulpit. I was tired of that one. Yeah, sorry. Couldn't get used to this one again. But if there's any kind of protest, bring it back. I just like changing all these things. Hallelujah. Okay, please help us put off your phone. If it's your phone that's making noise. Jesus came, this is what I rose from the dead. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. This is what he said next. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Make followers, make learners from me. How? Baptize, see that word? Baptizing them. So the very first thing he said about those who are going to make disciples, they get baptizing them. Now, interesting, he said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amazingly, this verse actually says, baptizing them into the name, in the original, of the Father and of the Son. That means bring them into an introduction. Baptism is like the picture of a woman going to her husband's house. In my village, they still do that till now. I'm not sure. Okay, I've read that a long time ago. In my village, when you get married, you get to the door of your husband's house, they wash your feet. They pour water. They still do that. They did it for you. Okay. All right. It's all right. It's okay. It's okay. You know, they pour water on your feet, and then they wash your feet, then cover your head like that. You'll be dancing. That's my village. I don't know what place that they do. Then they bring you in, and then they make you sit down. They make you cry a little bit for your parents and your mom that you have left behind with that. And then you're welcome. You're willing. You know. She never grew up in the village. Ah, you miss a lot. You just grew up in the city, Tombolo. You know? So, great. And so, baptizing is the first introduction into Christian life. Like now, they will not call you Yawole until you come that way. You can come and visit you. You can come and check you. But they will let you come in as a wife and cover you ceremoniously and get you inside. Now, you can never enter into what God has for you minus baptism. Baptism, Pastor. Okay. He said, baptizing them. Let's go to Mark 16. Okay. And I know what you are thinking now. Pastor, I'm in trouble. Baptizing care. Mark 16, verse 15. Let's read it. And he said, go into all the world and do what? Preach the gospel to what? Every creature. Look at what it says in the next verse. He who believes and is what? Will be saved. Now look at next verse. Next part of that verse. Look at it. He didn't say this. Please look up the screen. He said, he who believes, but he who does not believe will be condemned. He didn't say who does not get baptized will be condemned. He didn't say so. Believing is the root. You believe, then you get baptized. Amazingly, Jesus, Son of God, pure, no sin in his life, and the very first action was to get baptized by John. Why baptism? We'll see that in a minute. Are you here with me? Are you here with me? Okay. Baptism is a physical action that initiates spiritual momentum. What did I say? Physical action that initiates spiritual momentum. You know what momentum? Moment is a point, a moment. But momentum is gathering energy to go somewhere. So, baptism was not just for us to get a certificate. It's to build us a momentum. Praise God, somebody. Are you hearing me? You know, some of us, we are not given anything. We're baptized. Welcome. Put aside water. Come out. We are certificate. You're baptized. Certificate of IGN. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, you must come back. Certificate. Oh. People ask us when we are baptizing in church. They say, will they give us certificate? I wonder what. Did they bring their CV? I don't know. You know? Because somebody might ask you for receipt when they're buying fuel. Do you work in civil service? That's what you take next. I mean, I ask for a receipt for after buying fuel. You know, it must be from FCE. You have to tender all the things to collect your own money back. Okay. Baptism. Say, baptized in water. You'll be saved. Believe. Baptized. You'll be saved. He didn't say baptized. He said believe. Baptized. You'll be saved. Now. We can read some more. That all those who got born again in the book of Acts, that's what happened to them. They see, everybody who got introduced into life of action with Jesus began with baptism. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Let's see, Christian life. Pastor, I know you are preaching soon. You can get us baptized. You also not baptized yet. Is this a message? No, stop it. We're looking at Jesus. That his first action in life was to get baptized. Pastor, how do you see all these verses in the Bible? Very simple. See, when I pick my Bible, I remove all my denominational eyes. I remove my Christian, I remove my church glasses, my Pentecostal glasses. I just read the Bible. I say, God, let me see Bible the way it is. So that's why I see that. Let's go. All right. Look at Acts 2. You there? They ask Paul, or Peter rather, what should we do? What must we do? Look at verse 37. Now, when they had this, they were caught to the heart and said to Peter, the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Remember Jesus Christ, what did he do first? Huh? Okay, what's Peter's answer for them? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be what? Baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And you shall receive the gift of you. See. Baptism, Holy Spirit. Baptism, Holy Spirit. Jesus did that. We say, as Pentecostal, Jesus was Pentecostal. He came, his first action, got baptized, and then he received the Spirit descending on him. We'll see more later. But are you making some sense over here? So what's Jesus' foundational action? Baptism, heaven opened on him, and then I feel like baptism make him enter into heaven, open heaven, and he came out of that open heaven with something tangible, the Spirit. You got that? Are you here, somebody? Okay, beautiful. Let's go a step further. Let's look at more. Acts chapter 19. Okay, baptism. Baptism and the Holy Spirit. Good. Look at verse 1. The introduction into actions in Jesus' life was his first action. Baptism and Holy Spirit. And it happened
while Apollo was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. Next verse. You see, now listen to this. Amazingly, if somebody ever meets you and asks you to want to be sure of your Christianity, what should he ask you first? Amazingly, Paul said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Now, that's a question to them. So they gathered together. Where did you start your actions as Christians from? He said to them, "We have never so much as heard whether there is any Holy Spirit." Only waiting. Now, come and see what changes everything now. Next verse. So, he said to them, "Into what then were you baptized?" Follow. They said to him, "Into John's baptism." Remember, Jesus was baptized by John. Remember? But that's the uniqueness of Christ's own baptism. Other baptisms, they just came inside the water. What will know me? As a dry sinner, they came out as a wet sinner. And they all went home. Are you hearing me? But Jesus, when he entered the water, as he came out, heaven opened and the Spirit came upon him. So he has a uniqueness of his own baptism. John's baptism was just normal. So John baptism, look at next verse now. So he said to them, then Paul said, "John indeed baptized with baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who will come after him, that is on Christ Jesus." And so next verse now, take a look. So when they had this, you are now baptized in the name, not of John the Baptist, but of Jesus Christ. Starting with Jesus, like he did at the beginning. Are you following me, somebody here? He was saying to them, "You have not begun the Christian life at all." Praise the Lord. You have not begun the Christian life at all. The very first action as a Christ person, just like Jesus, get baptized, heaven open, and the Holy Spirit. Praise God, somebody. I said, praise God, somebody. Okay, now let's look at what happened next now. When they had this baptized, next verse, and when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and what? Prophesied. So you can see that the very first action that the Christian people will imitate from Christ is that get baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. Even Paul, the apostle himself, you know, he was going on the way, remember, to go and capture all Christians, remember, to Damascus. Remember that story? And on the way, light came and shone on him and knocked him on the floor. But you know what? Somebody said, he's converted. No. That was not the first action for him. That's the Lord's action on him. So, are we here? And that's Acts chapter 9. Then Saul, Paul now, but Paul then, Paul now, got up from the floor. His eyes were open, but he couldn't see anything. You know what he said next? He said, "Lord, what will you have me do?" This is where a lot of these false prophets get into trouble. You see, man, like, let me call name. You know, if you ask Joshua, T.B. Joshua, before he died, they said, "Where did you get to know the Lord? How did you get this anointing?" I was a Christian from the womb. The Christian life starts from you repenting, believe, but baptize, you get the Holy Spirit. Any other way is a thief and a robber. I was born in Ivory Coast. There were these touts in the town where I went to school. It's called Ajeme. There was a river, where people wash cars. It was a flowing river. One day, this tout just dived into the water and he didn't come out. 30 minutes, didn't come out. 1 hour, didn't come out. Second day, didn't come out. Third day, didn't come out. On the seventh day, he came out of the water with a bottle in his hands. Sent from heaven. put the bottle on the water and they perform miracles. Oh. There are all kinds of spirits available around us. But the Spirit of Jesus will always come by believing, baptized, get saved, and receive the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Acts 9 about Paul himself. We're talking about Jesus in action, Jesus at work, and how did he live his life? What did he start with? He started with baptism, baptizing water. Okay, are we there? Look at verse 6. So he, trembling and astonished, that's after he was knocked down by the light, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? The Lord didn't say to him, now, I have called you to be an apostle. Now, go and open a church, Zama Zama International Christian Powerful Ministry. No. He said, arise and go into the city. And you'll be told. See, if Jesus take you out in the bush and finish with you in the bush, you are not part of his people. So he said, get to the city and they will do on you what you do to any person who comes to Christ. I mean, if you happen to be before you came to this world, you said to an angel, I want to come to this world. You say, enter somebody's womb. Am I right? Somebody will conceive you and throw you up in a labor room somewhere. All right? Okay, let's look at it. What happened next? And while it was that way, let's keep reading. I want to jump some things. He said, okay. And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless. And hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Then Saul arose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But he led him by the hand, brought him to Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither ate nor drank. Now, let's keep reading. Now, there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. To him, the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. He said, here I am, Lord. Now wait. Why couldn't Christ finish everything for Paul? And make him a minister, and make him a great man, and put him there. No, it doesn't work that way. You start from somewhere. Somebody baptized Jesus himself. He didn't baptize himself. He entered into life in a normal way. The Lord said to him, arise, go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he's praying. No. I love this guy. Disciple, not even a minister of the gospel. Ordinary Christian. Next verse. And in a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias. The Lord was telling him that there's a man now praying, and he has seen you come to his house, and you have not left the house yet. What a dramatic Lord. And he said, he'll come in, putting his hands on him so that he might receive his sight. Let's keep reading. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saint in Jerusalem. Let's keep reading. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. Let's keep reading. The Lord said to him, go. He chosen a vessel of mine to bear my name before the Gentiles, kings, children of Israel. Next verse. For I'll show him how many things must suffer for my name's sake. Now, what did they do to him? Remember, I told you this. Jesus, when he began his life, he went baptized by John, came out of the water, heaven opened, Spirit came upon him, right? That was the journey. So the same way, Ananias went his way and entered the house, laying his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled. So, evidently, he had become a believer. He said, Brother Saul, you don't call Snake a brother. He had to be a brother, even be like you. Say, brother, Saul, that means the spirit. Now, what happened next? Take a look at next verse. He made there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose, and he was. See that? So baptism and the Holy Spirit were the accompanying foundational action that anybody who wants to walk with Christ must take. They are the first two steps you take. You get believed, baptized, and you get filled with the Holy Spirit. Then the journey of your two legs begins through life to eternity. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. You know, pastors, this is one of the most difficult things for us as pastors. People want their church to grow as pastors. They don't care about just want people to come. No, God wants people to come. He wants them to be baptized and be saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. Huh? That's God's purpose, not just to come and gather people together. so that you can have a walk in the supernatural. Let me say it like this. These two things, baptism, getting saved, baptism, one foot, and filled with the Holy Spirit, are the two feet that you can walk with as a child of God to do signs and wonders in this life. Praise God, somebody. I said, praise God, somebody. Baptism means that you repent. We read Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized. You know, I see all kinds of things. Come, power to change your destiny. That's not Christianity. Power to change your destiny. That's not Christianity. That's not Christianity. All these programs people do, they're not Christianity. Yeah, Pastor Grace again attacking everybody. Christ was not holding program of changing destiny. No. He's coming to make all you children of God. Praise God, somebody. For who is born of God overcomes the world. Not who has destiny change. No. And you get born of God, get baptized. Now, Pastor, why is baptism necessary? 1 Peter 3. What is baptism itself? Okay. They take you to water, put you inside there. No, it's more than that. 1 Peter 3, verse 17. Let's take a look. 1 Peter 3, verse 17. Where do we start from? I think that will be 1 Peter 3. Okay. I think I should just jump. Yeah, that's it. Let's. Where do we start from? Okay. This is a very interesting story from verse 17. For it is better if it is the will of God to suffer for doing good than for doing evil. Verse 18. Let's go from verse 18. Please pay attention here. Let's follow now. For Christ, are we here, everybody? Are we here, everybody? For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to who? So Jesus died. Oh, I love this. I love this. You know, nothing makes me to be really inspired like this. Jesus died and he offered his life for one purpose, to bring us, carry us back to God. Hallelujah. We were strangers and running away from God. Jesus died, laid down his life, and then he took us to the Father that he might bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. Jesus died, killed in the flesh, put on the cross, died, put in the grave, but he rose on the third day, spiritually speaking. Hallelujah. Now look at next verse. Now, this is some strange things you'll be hearing now. Some strange things you'll be hearing. By that same Spirit also, he went and preached to the Spirit where? What? So when he died, that 3 days, where was he? Amazing. The Bible said, in that he went out by the Spirit to preach to the spirits in prison. Who are those ones? Next verse. These are the spirits. Who formerly were disobedient when once the divine long suffering waited in the days of Noah. Oh, are we here? Interesting. Learning some more about Jesus today. So Jesus went to go and preach, even when he died, in the spirit. To who? To spirits in prison. Who are those spirits in the time of Noah? You know, the water covered and destroyed the whole earth. And how many were saved? Noah and his family. Remember that? 8 of them. Remember that? And Jesus went. So they gave another chance to these guys. That's what he said. He preached. Now, who formerly were disobedient, when once the divine long suffering, then there's one. While the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, 8 souls, were saved through what? Through water. Stop there. Now, follow me. So Jesus went down there and said, you guys, you're a really crazy bunch. But the grace is available to you now. I died for all your sins. Not that you didn't have any sense of taking the gospel. You are watching Noah and laughing at him. Look at next verse. Next verse, quickly. So it's not, there is also an antitype which now saves us. Oh, what's that? Baptism. Interesting. Oh, yeah. It's also an antitype which now saves us. Say that with what for me. Antitype. What is antitype? You know, it's antitype. Huh? Against type. See, type is a picture. When you have anti-type, you have the real thing. You don't get that. So you are. If this is type, anti-type is theology I'm teaching you now. Don't worry. I'll give you BSc theology or BTH. You see, in the Bible, you see things that happen under the old, like they offer a lamb. That's a type of the lamb Jesus suffering. The anti-type is Christ himself. That's a shadow. The reality is the anti-type. That's a type. That's a picture. A type and a shadow. Is that clear? You got BSc now, right? Are you ready? Just don't go and show it on the paper CV. Okay. Now, that's anti-type. You see, the same water that buried them, that same water saved Noah. Right? By making the ark, Noah and his family, 8 souls, entered there, and that same water that buried and drowned men, that water made the boat to float and move around. And he said, that same water that destroyed them, saved them. Now, there's also an anti-type which now saves us. As the water saved Noah, so the water is also our anti-type which now saves us. Baptism. Now, in bracket, explaining. Not the removal of the filth of the flesh. So when we say baptism, it's more than going to water and the water wash your body. No. What is it? What is it? Look at it. But the answer of a good conscience toward who? Pastor, what do you mean by that? Baptism is actually a reply to God when you hear the gospel. Pew. Remember Jesus? Let's go back there. Matthew 3:13. Remember? Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be what? Baptized by him. Why did he come? It was a reply. John was preaching baptism and repentance. So Jesus came to reply. To come and answer. Uh-huh. Like your passport has expired. You come to the place now, customs office, am I right? Is it? No, no custom. Immigration office to see it has expired. I want another passport. The passport is not being a Nigerian. You're a Nigerian already, but that passport gives you a Nigerian footing when you travel abroad, right? So that baptism, listen now. So when he came, John, next verse, John said to him, try to prevent him, say, I'm baptized by you. Are you coming to me? Look at Jesus' reply. This is where I'm going. Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting. So baptism is fitting to fulfill all righteousness that I've replied to this. Like now, see, sometimes you go to office, they send you a memo, and then you answer it, or you don't answer it, and you tell the guy, Mumbo. He will say, no, please answer it back for official reason. Sister, you do what I'm right? Yeah, the memo guys. Memo. No academy, the same memo, same those things. And if you don't reply it, something has to be done. Am I right? Thank you. So he's saying that God sent you a memo of the gospel. So send the memo back. Baptism is the memo you send back to reply. I tried to explain that. Did you get it? You do memo too. You do memo too. You know, you do memo. You know. Not us do too. They write on patient case notes. Huh? That case note, and then you write on it that the dog is there, you write it down. Now, I told that FMC now, the case note is online. Huh? And the computer goes down. Everything a patient just go. Huh? That's why, did you hear about the electoral tribunal? They said, Kineko deliver online. Say, we've got no paper. So let's leave that alone. So our own paper that we believe in the gospel is baptism in water. So when I get up and I say baptism, I'm fitting, I'm doing what is fitting, I'm fulfilling what? All righteousness. I believe first before I got baptized. But after I believe, I was saying, I don't need baptism. But one day I saw this verse, it said, it is what? Answer of a good conscience before God. It's like saying to a girl, I love you now. The girl says, I love you too. Okay, let's get married. I don't have to marry you. Let's stay together. Oh no, that's not fitting, right? That's not fitting. Because we have to get papers. We call them Wambe. We must declare. And you know, don't worry, don't worry. Jesus will help us. Jesus will help us to get the money for wedding. Hello? Then we sign the paper. Then we fulfill all righteousness. Prof, I actually wonder about graduation. Why you finish school now? Why graduating? They carry it together, put jacket on, you put all things on, you come around like that, and just run around, shake person's hand, cut paper, that's all. But that's fitting, am I right? Fulfilling all righteousness. Somebody, your phone is not fulfilling righteousness. Your phone is not fitting right now. Your phone is not fitting, so everybody put it off. You get that? Jesus began his major life of actions by baptism. Let's go back to 1 Peter 3 again. Verse 19 we just read. I hope I'm correct. Let's go see it. Verse 20. Let's see it quickly. 1 Peter 3, verse 21 now. There is this also an antitype which now saves us, baptism. Not the remover of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. Now, today we call it altar call. Are you hearing me? But it's not as powerful as baptism. Altar call. How many of you believe you have Jesus? And you come out. And you say, I believe in Jesus. Da, 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 and then you go. That's fine. That's all right. Because there was no water around. Are you hearing me? But in the early church, the only way to vouchsafe that you are actually this, that Christ sanctioned, is baptism in water. Hello?
Pastor, is it immersion? Or is it sprinkling? Is it?
Baptized, period. He put it on your head. It came from the back. Came through you. Whatever it is. Let's dig more into this. I'm trying to say something over here. And I'm going to explain why baptism is so important to you. Okay, let's go. Because you see, you're right. The way to see yourself, like now. You see, today there's so much confusion about salvation. When you see, a child is born into this world. We don't care anymore about the child being born. Are we here? Let's dig more into this a little bit. I want to share some things about baptism with you so you can understand it. Baptism is important as a legal thing to walk through life. Baptism is like your birthright. Are you hearing me? Like, I believe in Jesus, baptize. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. That's chapter 9. Listen, African man. Fine, African man. The first African to be saved in the Bible. Are we here? Okay. Let's read verse 26. Now, Philip was busy doing evangelism. Now, an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. That will receive the attitude today. Let's go. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopia, who had charge of all her treasury. That's minister for finance. His chariot is financial. My big guy. And had come to Jerusalem to worship. Wow. It was a kind of what you call proselyte, Jewish proselyte, trying to find God. It's an African man. He was not worshiping Ogun or Oya. He found the God of Yahweh, find God of the Jews. And he traveled down, never heard yet about Jesus. Let's keep reading. Was returning and sitting in his chariot, reading the Isaiah prophet. You know, this guy really impressed me. It's an African man. He was reading. First African, he was reading. And he was in his chariot, reading the prophet. Next verse. And the Spirit of God said to Philip, go near and overtake his chariot. Huh? Minister of Finance, Jeep. Huh? In the desert. Say, protect this chariot. So, what happened next? So, Philip ran to him and had him reading Prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you are reading? Next verse. He's a nice guy. Africans are very nice people. If you see a white man, just ignore you. Huh? Africans are very nice. You know, you stand and say, Ekbeleo, Ekabo, Ekujometa. Did you get you back nightly? You look at the white man, good afternoon. I'm a stranger. All along, you said, hey, you know what you're reading? I'm a wani. How can I, unless someone guides me, ask Philip to come up and sit with him? Whoa. Whoa. I mean, you check the leather, it's genuine leather on the seat. You know what you are here, right? Just chop me. Sorry for getting canal. But he was not concerned about that. Something was bugging him. The life of the spirit. What am I doing here? What am I going with my life? Coming out of worship. Not before. This after worship was reading. On his way home. The place of the reason was this. Then as he sheep to the slaughter, and as the lamb before his trailer is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. We will take his generation for his life taken from the earth. That can be very confusing. Here you are trying to find God. Here somebody is being humiliated. Next verse. And so Enoch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself? Of some other man? Let's keep reading. Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Oh, it's Jesus talking about. He was the one taken out as a lamb. Pilate and Pontius Pilate and Herod took him and he died for our sins. Look, what happened next? Now, I love this. Take a look. Take a look. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me? Glory to Jesus. See, that African man was taking the first action you should take if you want to do anything with your life spiritually. It's a hard gospel. And I want to answer back to this gospel. I want to say, I want to surrender to this. Let's look at next verse. Then Philip said, what does it take? If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, can I have a voice, everybody? Let you understand, first African man. I believe that Jesus. I want to say that my mouth again. I want to confess that one more time. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. That's the beginning. And then, look at what happened next. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and he baptized him. What happened next? And the Spirit, when he came out of the water, the Spirit, look, snatched Philip away. The Holy Ghost came rushing there. I guess that guy was filled with the Holy Spirit, and then Philip disappeared. I mean, can you just imagine that? Standing with your jeep, right down there, two of you come out of the jeep, the driver was looking at you, and you go into the water, and then the guy just baptized you in water, you came out, and the guy disappeared. When you entered the car back, all those drivers were looking at, oh, God, don't go somewhere. You never understand. Whoa, glory to Jesus. What am I saying, in essence? Jesus began his life with the Holy Spirit, with baptism and open heaven. Do you know why you need open heaven? This is a crazy place. Something must be open somewhere. Are you hearing me? This is a crazy word. Something must open somewhere. I heard somebody screaming yesterday. Day before yesterday, I couldn't get away from it. One preacher. He just started screaming. He said, I want to ask you a question. And I looked at him. I said, okay. He said, you know what? When Jesus told Peter to throw his net into that place, and there was fish. Can I ask you a question? Where did fish come from? I said, I don't know. Then he said again, Jesus, after he rose from the dead, Peter was struggling on that. He couldn't find fish. I said, He said, and Christ said, throw your net to the right. And then fish began. One, two, three, number of fishes came to the water. Where did fish come from? I don't know. Tony, I won't lie. Then he finished. He said, then you know what? He said, when Abraham took his son to go and offer him, and he killed his son, and before he killed his son, God said, stop. And he turned and he saw the ram. Where did the ram come from? What do you mean? Where I went to school. Ram doesn't come from air. I mean, there's no fish here before, there's fish here now. That preaching helped me so much. Pastor, what did you say? It helped me so. Where did he come from? Is your question true? 5,000, 30,000, 25,000. I think I found the answer today. Heaven opened. Heaven dropped something there. And it's fish. When they ate that fish, it was normal fish. The man asked one more question. He said, when Christ multiplied the bread and the oil, where did the bread come from? I know it was five loaves. Bread, yeah, girl. You know, when that, you know, the first rule, maybe number bread, the first rule, five rules, you know, the first rule. Then the other one following after that, Kilimanjaro, see bread in Asia. But it's bread and it's fish, but it's not from here. Ah. I want to believe that things are going to happen in your life natural, but it's not natural. Amen, somebody. Praise God. I'm expecting that in my life. What about you? More of that in my life, Jesus' name. More of that. It looks natural, but it's not naturally oriented. Glory to Jesus. So, we start with what? Jesus' first action was baptism in water. Introduction into heaven, where everything. Now, Pastor, why do I need open heaven? When you get born again, you actually step into the kingdom of God. He who is born again enters. Remember that? Baptism, believing and baptism is equal to born again. That means you are born into that new heaven realm. Praise God, somebody. Are we here, everybody? Are we here? So, and that heaven is the source. James 1 verse 18. Let's look at it. James 1 verse 17. Let's make it from there. Take a look. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from where? And comes down from the Father of light. That realm. Praise God, somebody. Are we blessed today? Jesus' first action was to get baptized. Now, Jesus' baptism was unique. Our own is not. Our own was to identify with his own. Are you hearing me? I want to close with that. If you are going to see God's glory in your life today, you must have this, that I believe in Jesus and I've got baptized in water. By the way, if you're not baptized in water, next 3 weeks, 2 weeks, we get you baptized. Is that all right? We have the tank. We have the water. It's raining. Are you hearing me? We get you baptized. That's the easiest thing in the world.
Pastor, what do I need to get baptized?
Ask the eunuch. Huh? He was listening to the message, and he stopped. He said, hey, here's water. And Philip said, you're going to have 6 weeks training. Huh? 6 weeks training in discipleship. Huh? Or you go to church attendance for 6 months. No. Just go, bang, to the water. You believe? I make church easy. People make church difficult. You want to be a worker in church? You go for 9 months of training as RFC member. Your visa has already landed. Before you start working, you have gotten your visa, you have left. You see, things have changed now. Like those days, where people just have, you can spend somewhere for 5 years somewhere. Things have changed now, so you can't be waiting for people forever. They've gone to Canada before you breathe. Huh? So you better put all you can put into them now. You know, praise God. That's some things to talk about. You know, you want to be a church member, you want to do something, you want to be working church, 3 years training. What you see? Australia, Canada, we saw up in Brazil. Time is gone. Hallelujah. What must we do? We must do now. Let's go back to Jesus, John 3. I want to work on that. Let's round up. But are you blessed today? We are looking at Jesus in action. Jesus at work. Give us our topic again. Jesus at work. We know he could preach. We know he could teach. But he did something with his life. We can watch him and learn from him. Act 1:1 says this. Act 1:1. It says, the former treatise, O Theophilus. Former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to what? To do and to teach. Let's look at what he did. We have seen what he did. Let's go. Or else we won't finish. Matthew 3 rather. We're going to see what he did, how he lived his life. Let's go to 13 to Matthew, verse 16 and verse 17. Let's go. Matthew 3, verse 16. Quickly. When they baptized, Jesus came up really from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. So Jesus, boy, I love this. The Father from heaven, the Holy Ghost on him, and he became an invading force. Let's look at what happened next. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is what? My beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. That's what the father did to him when he did get baptized. Is that all right? Is that all right? So baptism is the announcement of your sonship. Praise God, somebody. Now you are a child of God. It's proclaimed. Now, he's been a child of God before he got here, right? But that baptism proclaimed him as a child of God. So, baptism, certificate of what? I'm a child of God. I belong to heaven. Praise the Lord, somebody. Do we get that? Same thing we do for baby. When babies are born, they are washed clean and they are put on their bed. Have you noticed that? That's the first thing they do. They wash the baby, clean them off. Innocent now. Nice looking, fresh skin, good over there. And just sucking away. And that's who we are. Brand new child of God. Amen, somebody. So Jesus was announced. Announcement of his sonship. What did he do next? Matthew 4, verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Are we here, everybody? I said the very first thing Jesus did. Jesus' initial encounters were amazing. His first encounter was to go to John preaching. Are you hearing me? The preaching was to Jesus very foundational. He didn't go out another time. When he heard John preach, he went, if you go to baptism without preaching, it's called alue. Are you hearing me? You just lure, that's all, come back. But when you had preaching, like the eunuch had preaching, and then he got baptized, that is announcement of heaven. Spirit will get involved with it. So after hearing that you preach Jesus Christ, then you get baptized in water, then Jesus, please, everybody look up here now. Jesus' life in action, what can be summarized simply as this, cooperation with the Spirit. Write it down. Jesus' life can be summarized simply as this, a cooperation with the Holy Spirit. A cooperation. 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 Do you notice something? What I'm going to say now may shock you. Look at that verse. The Bible never said that Jesus was a leader. You hear what I just said? Leadership teaching is strange to the Bible at its core. You don't discuss leadership. You discuss how to be led. The great leaders in the Bible were not leading. They were led. Now, all those things you see in their lives that we now call teaching on leadership came from a source of bending to somebody else as their North Star. The hardest thing is to lead without anybody before you. Look here. That's where our world is floundering today. Everybody's trying to become a leader. How are we going to lead? Look here. Have you ever lived tomorrow before? But somebody knows tomorrow. Clap your hands for him. Praise God. We can. Anybody who has ever done well in an office as a Christian, notice that they have a close walk with God. They will say, Lord, what do I do with this? How do I handle this? What's happening over here? It's a cooperation of the Spirit. That's why you guys don't want to marry. Because you are thinking it's all about your life. You are the leader. No, you are to be led. Oh, what a life. There's something about going abroad. With GPS now, call it now. Is it GPS? It's so sweet to travel abroad. You just put that thing, press. Just say, go through the meter, turn right. But traffic light, step 5. You know that? It's so sweet. Just stay over there. One time we were going to South Africa. We were going to Joburg from Kokstad. 7 hours journey. I said to Brajide, Dr. Onuga. Remember Dr. Onuga now? Yeah. I said, Prajide, he said, really? It's a nice journey. You know what he told me? He said, I had this Benz car that I was thinking, Nigeria, 7 hours to Ilorin or something. You tired, man, on a corner, recruiting. You know, you just, you got to be, he said, Reverend, don't worry, you're going to tap on this. Is it M trunk road, something like that? I said, okay. We enter his base, and I will enter by the left, all right? He said, no, the right. Look, they had the right hand over there. So we enter this base, 7 hours journey. He entered, I said, where are we going? He said, don't worry, I have the address. I said, I'm a bit low. He said, don't worry. Just press. In this garage. And when the priest pressed, he said, are you ready for the journey? He said, yes, move out of your grip. I said, so easy. So we move out. And he started directing us. Turn, can they go? I didn't know the way. I just sat in the car, just watching. And then you just take the car and follow it. And then we just go, maybe you want to stop, and tell us there's just ahead of you, filling station, where you can eat. So I said, I love this. Let's go forever. This is beautiful, where we can eat, where we can rest, you know. One time we want to get out of the way because we didn't want to follow their own way. We want to go and eat somewhere where it was not on the road. So we turned the car off. The car said, you are getting off the road. I hope you know what you are doing. We just keep on going. Like many Christians would do, just disobey God, you know. We got off the road. We went to go and eat there. We finished eating. We put the engine on. Press the thing again. The guy said, do you want to go back to where you are going before? Or you want to? We want to go back. We repent. Okay. All right. And so, kicking the thing again. He said, if you want to go back, it just took by itself from the sky with Google. Calibrated, turned us back on the road. Caught down there. We got to J-Borg. I'm just feeling so cold. Nigeria. Ibu no rambai. Just follow the guy. Come on, Holy Spirit. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen. I'm saying again, the summary of Jesus' life is cooperation with the Spirit. Hallelujah. You see, the greatest victory is not public. It's private. If you don't defeat those personal devils, you can't have great victory outside here. Remember, David told Saul. Now, it's not that Goliath. Goliath's public, but I've dealt with the lion and the bear. In fact, he said the lions and the bears. So the private victories go a long way in helping you in public victory. Sometimes, we lose in public because private has not been settled. So let's look at the private victory we can get and what we need there. Are we ready? Jesus never, please look up here. The story we're going to read next few verses before we round up this service. We'll continue next week. These were the foundational stones of Jesus' actions, the way he lived his life. Privately. Now, nobody knew Christ spent 40 days in the wilderness. Nobody knew. Until the Holy Ghost inspired this man to write. Maybe he told some of the few of them, because they were not with him that time. He chose them after, when he came back. So nobody knew. This was not something that was open. In fact, even that Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus was only seen by John. Nobody else saw it. Baptism is just, I put inside water. You come out physically, I can see, but what happened, transpire is spirit. Now let's look at what happened. Let's read those verses. Let's go from verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. Next verse. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that this stone become bread. Next verse. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Next verse. Then the devil took him up to the holy city, set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, what? If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and the hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. What's his response? And he said to him, it is written, again, shall not tempt the Lord your God. Next verse. Again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, and showed him all the kingdom of this world, and their glory. Next verse. And he said to him, all these things I will give you, if you fall down and worship me. Next verse. Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Next verse. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and said to him. I believe that this story was given to us as a kind of a peep into Jesus' private life. I think, I'm not saying that this is absolutely true. I think Jesus went through this almost regularly with his life. Because when you read that story in the book of Luke, let's go on the book of Luke, telling us the same story. Christ in action. Look for, there's a phrase there I'd like you to just see that kind of speak volumes. Hallelujah. Verse 13. Take a look. Now, when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from Jesus until... When did that happen again? We don't know. That means there were several private battles of Jesus that were enacted. And all of us can tell over here, we have private battles, am I right? Over issues in your life that nobody will see anything about, between your life and your wife, between your life and your children, between your life and colleagues and friends and life, client, customers, money, Satan, evil spirit. All that, that's a battle in our life, that's private, that's driving us, that makes us sometimes sad or happy. And that private life, God gave us a review of it in Jesus' life. Let's do some stuff in there now. I believe that those verses that Jesus gave us about his time in the wilderness and his struggle, that simply means that all of us over here will have our struggle time. Remember, he said, follow me. Am I right? So let's follow him here now into the private battles where nobody will be there with us. When we lie on the bed, when we look at tomorrow and look at our lives and look at our situations and wonder about what is going on. What do we do in those moments? Devil has his strategies. Jesus was given three temptations that summarize all that will come against us. And his actions they were taking will tell us how to handle them. But one thing that we notice in all these battles, please listen. He acted. We know he was led. He didn't say anything. He was in the wilderness. He didn't say anything. In all these stories in the 40 days, the only thing we noticed he was doing was speaking the written word of God. You know what I just said? I mean, go back to that story in Matthew 4. You notice that all the response is, it is written. It is written. Once, go away, for it is written. That's why I'm afraid for us today, particularly this younger generation. You are never taught about the book of God. You're taught more about Facebook. And I wonder how you're going to win your private victories. I wonder. When you are alone and you can't hear anybody's take on this, and the influencer has gone to sleep, and Twitter has rested in X. Jesus, in those moments, in his hunger, I don't know about you, when you are hungry, you forget books. You forget anything. But Jesus, in all his hunger, the only thing remaining for him is the word of God. When you have a fight with your husband, what remains? When you suffer losses, what remains? When you don't know where to go, what remains? Jesus was hungry. I don't know about you. Sometimes when you are really poor, you will see money on the floor. Anybody? No, no, no. You will look at stone, you think it's a dollar. See people like, buy 500, hallelujah. Jesus, I mean, you take a look at the stones and think, say bread, hallelujah. Come on, okay, neighbor. Devil said, if you are the son of God, come on. If you are the son of God. Well, you just heard that I was son of God just some few minutes ago, or some days ago, some hours ago. And Jesus could get himself up from that and said, it is written. It is written. That remember on Sunday for service, Pastor Alex, I told the story on Sunday. I don't remember that story. I told it myself for service too. Pastor Alex had a broken leg, got infected, got to UK. Doctors looked at him and said, you finished. It's MRSA. You threw. And they said, we give you 10 days. And his mind started reeling, that kind of reeling. Then finally, on the 6th day, he took his Bible and he said, I'm going to take the word of God and just push this thing through. And then they said, that thing never has a cure. And within 5, 6, 7 days, the thing started dying. The only thing left for him is not that I'm a minister, I'm a pastor, I'm in a battle, I'm a leading community. It's just, it is written. Woe betides you if you don't know it is written. Honestly. Hard times, harsh times, rough times will come. You know, one of the things, the reason why I come to church, not because I want to come to church, but I want you to hear it is written. Because sometimes I've been here, people's testimony have told me, just what you said tonight is life and death. I can't afford to play a game. Honestly. I've seen words of God changing lives here. And sometimes they say, Pastor, you know, yesterday I was thinking about this, and then today, and I just ask myself, how did I come to know to say that? How could I have said that? And I've just said, I didn't hear anything like, Tunde Amuso, say this word now, that person's listening, or else you miss it. I don't hear that. I just it is written. Now, that word written was written thousands of years before Jesus came, but it was as peculiar and particular as today. Come on, clap your hands for Jesus. Wow. It's relevant. The only editing you need is to edit it for your situation. It's already done well. Praise God. So let's look at the conglomerate in this personal victory. Number one, Holy Spirit leading. Number two, the devil temptations. Number three, the weapon of the word of God, the written word of God. So, we got, how many now? The leading of the Spirit. Right? And it can happen to all of us. Maybe in business. Maybe in health. The leading of the Spirit. Give us verse 1 again. Matthew 4, verse 1. Leading of the Spirit. Jesus was led by the Spirit. Then you're going to enter some wilderness somewhere. And I was teaching the third service about the way to wealth. And I said, the way to wealth by the word of God, by work, and by wilderness. Remember that? By wilderness. Everything that is tangible in life must go through wilderness. The way to pass an exam is wilderness of reading. How about that? The way to play football very well on the field and score like Messi is to go through training where nobody sees you and play and play and play and play and play and play and kick the same ball, kick the same ball, kick the same ball. It can be very, 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 very uninspiring. So there is the leading of the Spirit, there is the wilderness, there is the devil, and there is the resource, the written word of God. We're going to look at that. God helping us. Jesus won the battle. Jesus won the battle in private. Hallelujah. Can I surprise you? That battle still raged all through Jesus' life. And can I surprise you? Once in a while, he will dump the crowd, stop the preaching, and run them there to go and face it. Approve it. Luke 5. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. Have you been there before? You are among friends and crowds. You are laughing, but something is bothering you. Anybody like that with me? Something just bothering you. Maybe a text, something just happened. Something just, you know, what am I going to do with it? Everybody's like, praise the Lord, and they're celebrating. Everybody, you know? Let's go to Luke 5. I think I'll show you one. All right, Luke 5. Take a look at verse 15. However, the report went around, Jesus' report, concerning him, all the more. And great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he's the guy on the stage, he's the public figure. But look at next verse. But so he himself, do what? Often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. I don't know how to stop this service, but I have to stop. Do you know what I just saw? I'm run up with this. I just finished reading about the life of Samson. Oh, what a guy. He had dreadlock. Some say he had dreadlock, 7 dreadlocks. I didn't make it up, it's in the Bible. They were long, they had dreadlock, long thing, you know, so we just go everywhere. But Samson didn't know where to fight his battle. He's always in Potiphar's house. It's on the lap of a lady somewhere. What are the pleasure? The last one that broke my heart was, you know, the next before the last one, the one before the last one was, he went to a prostitute house. God organized that he would use women to help Samson fight his fight. Amazing. When before Samson was born, angel went to his mother, not to his father. So when Samson began his array of winning, he started with a woman. Remember, he said, get her for me. God said, it was the Lord's mind to go use Philistine women to beat Philistines. But the public and the private are different. So he will go win publicly, but he want to stay there publicly to get private life sorted out. So Samson one day went to prostitute's house. Not even a woman's house now. Prostitute's house. And Bible said the Philistine came to kind of guard over him in the night to capture him. Then Bible said, he had a way. Listen to this. Samson woke up in the middle of the night. He didn't sleep over till morning. At midnight, Samson woke up. He said, my, I see I have some senses. And then they were waiting for him. He went to the gate of the city, opened the gate, and carried it on his shoulder. Who will come there? And he walked about 20 miles in the desert and dumped it at Hebron and walked off. The Bible said, he found Delilah in one valley somewhere there. And Delilah accommodated him. His private life, his battle, where will he find it? Guess what? And then the trouble was, show me your power. Why? Because he has collected money. I wonder. You know what scared me? That all this woman was after his money. Say, you love me. Show me your secret power. And then he said, if you just take me down like that, they just come for me. So he was just playing with her. Then I saw a verse. Let's read it. Judges.
Pastor, I'm obinrin oburu.
Obinrin oburu. Obinrin oburu at all. Obinrin oburu at all. Samson the weak. Hallelujah. Are you here with me? Okay. Where is the verse now? Let's find it. Sorry, quickly. Let me get it. Okay. Chapter 16. Are we there? Verse 16. That's temptation. And it came to pass when she, what? Like stoning him, pestered him daily with her words and pressed him so that his soul was vexed to death. Then he surrendered. Rather die than continue. You see, if it's in your private life, you don't get strengthened and sustained, and all you hear is drain, drain, drain. That's why every woman here, make your home where your husband can be at rest. Every man here, make your home where your husband, wife can be at rest. Home should not be a place where you go to that you just. Sometimes it's better to be alone than have some companionship. But by the way, Jesus did. Can I close like this? Jesus himself had 12 men. But anytime he wants to do this, he'll get away from them. Remember, even Gethsemane, he took 9 and he said, I want to go, stay here, I want to watch. And he took 3 with him and he said, I'm bothered. And he put them down and went ahead before them. So private victory, we're going to explore that. The spirit, the devil, the wilderness, the word of God.
All right? You're going to win. You're going to do well. Praise God. Praise God. Now, watching Jesus in action. And Jesus did that. I hope this thing is helping you a little bit. Hallelujah. I've not thought this before, but I'm enjoying it along the way. We're going to see Jesus doing a lot of things. We're going to see Jesus beating people. Yokoboko. Not small kids, adults. Ubanwalegba. As we see Jesus weeping, crying. Jesus playing. Jesus drinking. Yeah, we find out. In fact, he was noted for eating and drinking more than fasting and praying. They told him, he said, the Pharisees and John Baptist, they were always in the spirit. Yo, they were always at party. Hallelujah. He was number one Cleo. You find out more about him. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. Let's thank Jesus. Let's give him glory. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior we have. Remember, his beginning was to believe. Believing is always the beginning. Believing, repenting is foundational. I want you to just tell the Lord again, Lord, I believe you. I believe in God the Father. I believe in the Son of God. I believe in the power of the Spirit. I believe in the Word of God written, the Bible. I believe that heaven is my home. I believe I'm a child of God. I believe this world is not the end of everything. I believe. I'm a believer. I'm a believer. He said, beloved son of God. Because I'm a believer, I'm a beloved child of God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Give you glory. Jesus, I'll follow your footstep. I'll follow your footstep wherever I go. I'll do what is fitting that fulfills all righteousness. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's give our offering and get out of here. Whoa, Jesus, we thank you. Yeah, any announcements there? October 1, October 2. Men's meeting next Sunday. By 5 p.m. This place is going to have that. So don't forget. Hallelujah. Praise God. Wow, I've really been blessed tonight. Really blessed tonight. Following Jesus. All right. Okay, let's give our offering.